Hey everyone, I'm Thanos Davelis, and welcome back to The Greek Current, a podcast by the Hellenic American Leadership Council and Kathimerini, where we highlight the top stories of the day every afternoon with analysis from guest experts, policymakers, journalists, and HELC staff. A constitutional court in Cape Verde has issued a recent ruling that would pave the way for the extradition of Alex Saab, a Colombian-born businessman indicted in 2019 for facilitating sanctions evasion and bribery schemes by the Maduro regime in Venezuela. His extradition from Cape Verde, combined with ongoing U.S. efforts to extradite another Turkish money laundering suspect from Austria, could help expose a web of Iranian, Turkish, and Venezuelan illicit financial dealings. Aykan Erdemir joins The Greek Current to look at the connections between Turkey and Venezuela, Erdogan's defiance of U.S. sanctions against Venezuela, and why these two cases will be critical to follow moving forward. Dr. Aykan Erdemir is the Senior Director of the Turkey Program at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies and a former Turkish lawmaker. He's also a frequent contributor to debates on illicit finance and sanctions evasion. Aykan, welcome back on The Greek Current.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to join you.
Aykan, you've recently written a policy brief for the Foundation for Defense of Democracies that highlights how an extradition case of Alex Saab, the Colombian-born businessman, to the United States to stand trial could expose further details of not only Venezuelan, but also reported Turkish schemes to evade U.S. sanctions. Who is this businessman, and why is this development important?
So this whole story stems from a September 7th ruling by the Cape Verdean Constitutional Court that paves the way for Alex Saab's extradition to the United States. Now, Saab is a Colombian-born businessman who was arrested by Cape Verdean authorities in June 2020 on a U.S. warrant when his private jet landed to refuel on the island while en route to Iran and reportedly to exchange Venezuelan gold for Iranian gasoline and other oil products. Saab is known to have laundered hundreds of millions of dollars for the Nicolas Maduro regime. Since 2009, he has exploited Venezuela's food subsidy program, CLAP, which is namely Local Committees for Supply and Production. Now, CLAP included an arrangement in which Caracas shipped gold to Ankara in exchange for food to be distributed to the Venezuelan regime's loyalists as part of a corrupt subsidy program. In 2019, the United States sanctioned and indicted Saab for facilitating the Maduro regime's sanctions evasion and bribery schemes, including for his role in the CLAP program. Just to give you an example, one of the companies the U.S. Treasury designated as part of the Saab network was the Istanbul-based Mulberry Proje Yatırım. Now, Mulberry's owner was an associate of Saab himself. And the U.S. Treasury accused Mulberry of purchasing food in Turkey on behalf of Venezuelan clients and marking up prices before selling the food back to Venezuela. So basically, U.S. authorities condemned Saab and his associates for, quote, profiteering from starvation, end quote. You know, this was, like, I would argue, the worst kind of crime, stealing from a starving population. And what makes it more embarrassing for Ankara is that the Erdogan government was profiting from trade with a regime in which Maduro's inner circle, corrupt inner circle, was enriching themselves on the backs of starving Venezuelans.
The United States, Aykan, and its allies have targeted the Maduro regime with a wide range of sanctions. Can you give our listeners some background into these sanctions, you know, why they were imposed and how they have impacted the regime in Caracas?
Now, the United States has issued a wide range of sanctions against the Maduro regime, an authoritarian regime that has been not only oppressing its very own people, but also, you know, involved in narco trade, involved in global illicit financial schemes, as well as, working with other rogue regimes to evade other U.S. sanctions. To give you an example of these sanctions, in November 2018, President Trump issued an executive order prohibiting any financial involvement in the Venezuelan gold sector. And the following March, the U.S. Treasury sanctioned Venezuela's state-owned gold company, Minervan. Now, these sanctions against entities complemented other sanctions targeting corrupt Venezuelan operatives such as Saab. But just to give you one other example, in 2017, Washington also sanctioned Tariq al-Asami, who was then Venezuela's Minister of Industries and National Production, for playing a significant role in international narcotics trafficking. And this is an individual who also has links to Iran and Hezbollah. And the reason I'm mentioning his name is because we will come back to him later in the podcast as, again, one of the key facilitators or middleman between Maduro and the Erdogan government. Now, of course, other NATO member states have also joined the United States. Just to give you an example, this July, the United Kingdom also joined Washington in sanctioning Saab. You know, even the Swiss authorities have been cooperating with the U.S. authorities when it comes to the Maduro regime's gold trade. So this is part of a global push against one of the most corrupt and oppressive regimes.
Back in 2018, President Erdogan slammed U.S. sanctions on Venezuela while he was on a visit in Caracas. And it's been reported, as you mentioned earlier in our podcast, that Turkey has helped Maduro evade sanctions. What's the connection between Turkey and Venezuela? And how exactly has Ankara facilitated the Maduro's regime's sanction evasion, drug trafficking, and money laundering schemes?
Now, for Turkey watchers, this is a surprising relationship. Because before Turkey's abortive coup attempt in 2016, there was very little to talk about in terms of a Turkish-Venezuelan relationship. The bilateral trade volume was only around $100 million annually. However, the relations developed quickly, very quickly, following Maduro's support to Erdogan in the aftermath of the coup attempt, including multiple senior-level officials visiting both ways. Just to give you two examples, in October 2017, Maduro met with Erdogan in Ankara, and then Erdogan returned the visit in December 2018 when he was given a hero's welcome in Caracas. Basically, this is two authoritarian leaders shunned by the democratic countries around the world, banding together in solidarity. And this senior level connections have led to illicit financial transactions at the lower levels. Again, to give you an example, in 2018, an Istanbul-based company established shortly after Maduro's meeting with Erdogan in Ankara helped the Venezuelan regime move $900 million worth of Venezuelan gold to Turkey. You know, this is right around when the U.S. sanctions against Venezuelan gold kicked in. And also, this comes at a time when there was a lot of shaming exposés globally about the Maduro regime's practice of extracting and exporting blood gold. This is basically gold that is extracted by slaves or indentured servants in ways that is extremely harmful to the environment and the rainforests, and that is basically enriching a corrupt ruling class. So of all the countries in the world, it was Erdogan's Turkey that helped facilitate the export of this blood gold, which was U.S. sanctioned gold. And, you know, this was so much in the open that in July 2018, Venezuelan authorities stated publicly that they started refining gold in Turkey, they said, to avoid the risk of asset seizures in Switzerland, which started cooperating with U.S. authorities. And if I go back to an individual I mentioned before, Tariq al-Asami, then Venezuela's Minister of Industries and National Production, with links to Hezbollah and Iran, he visited personally gold refineries in Turkey. This was widely covered in the Turkish media. He was welcomed by Turkish officials. So like a U.S.-sanctioned individual linked to narcotics trafficking, Hezbollah, and Iran, was really, again, given the red carpet treatment in Turkey by the Erdogan government.
This scheme that you described, the gold for food exchange between Turkey and Venezuela earlier, is similar to Erdogan's gas for gold scheme that allowed Iran to circumvent U.S. sanctions. Is there a connection between the two, or would you say this is more indicative of a broader pattern of facilitating sanctions evasion from Turkey?
I would argue that this is not a one-off case. You know, Erdogan has been on the record multiple times that he is against U.S. sanctions targeting not only Iran, but also Venezuela. But he has not stopped there. He hasn't stopped at the rhetorical level. He has actively facilitated both Tehran's and Caracas's sanctions evasion schemes by facilitating connections between Iranian and Venezuelan operatives and Turkey-based entities and individuals. Moreover, there are strong suspicions that there was a central Turkish role in the ongoing Venezuelan-Iranian arrangement to exchange sanctioned Venezuelan blood gold for Iranian petroleum products. Now, there is also, of course, the Hezbollah angle too, with Tariq al-Assami. So we're not only talking about potentially sanctions evasion, but possibly also money laundering and terrorism finance. So, you know, when you put all these together, this is an extremely worrisome picture because it involves a NATO member state that is facilitating the worst kinds of financial crimes by two of the world's worst rogue states, one which happens to be the leading state sponsor of terrorism.
Icahn, there's another case you wrote about this month that's linked to Turkey's sanctions evasion schemes with Venezuela and Iran, and that's the extradition case of a Turkish businessman that Austrian authorities arrested in June. Who is this businessman, and why is the United States asking for his extradition?
Now, Sezgin Baran Korkmaz is really a very interesting character because until recently, he was closely linked to the Erdogan government. He has been treated very favorably. And he has been, you know, presented as a young, successful entrepreneur whose rags-to-riches story grabbed everyone's attention. But following U.S. prosecutors going after Korkmaz and his U.S. associates for basically money laundering schemes that defrauded the U.S. Treasury over $500 million, Korkmaz became a toxic asset. Erdogan had these photos, not only with Korkmaz, but also with his U.S. partners, who are now in jail in the U.S. for defrauding the U.S. Treasury. So Erdogan used court orders to try to get rid of these photos and try to block all these news pieces that link him to Korkmaz. And when trying to cover up these scandals, Erdogan-controlled Turkish courts went after Korkmaz, basically to silence him. You know, Korkmaz escaped from Turkey because he knew, I think, that he would be silenced in one way or another and ultimately ended up in an Austrian prison. Now, following the U.S. attempt to extradite Korkmaz, we saw Ankara immediately issuing a competing extradition attempt. Now, I think we shouldn't be naive. This is not an attempt on the part of the Erdogan government trying to bring him to justice. This is simply trying to prevent U.S. prosecutors from extraditing Korkmaz, as Erdogan fears that he could turn state's witness in the United States, just like an earlier Iranian-Turkish sanctions evader, Reza Zarrab, turned state's witness and exposed the Erdogan government. So this is really the next big scandal waiting to explode. And what makes things even worse is Korkmaz and his associates also have connections not only to the Maduro regime, but also reportedly chartered flights for Tariq al-Assami, the Venezuelan minister sanctioned by the U.S. for international narcotics trafficking and with links to Iran and Hezbollah. So this is basically the perfect storm in the making, meaning two potential extraditions and two individuals who happen to be privy to a lot of incriminating detail about how Venezuela, Turkey, Iran, and Hezbollah are connected in their efforts to undermine U.S. sanctions.
So there's a lot at stake then if the Austrian court denies the U.S. request for extradition and sends Korkmaz back to Turkey.
Definitely. That would literally mean covering up the next big sanctions evasion, money laundering, and terrorism finance case. And if Austrian courts and justice ministry do the right thing and extradite Korkmaz to the United States, he could choose to turn state's witness to get lenient treatment by U.S. courts, just like Saab could also turn state's witness. And if they both turn state's witness, I think there is a lot at stake for Erdogan. If we remember the case of Reza Zarrab, who turned state witness in 2017 during the trial of the deputy general manager of Turkey's second largest public lender, Halkbank, we can remember how he pointed the finger to Erdogan, to his ministers, to his senior bureaucrats for facilitating Iran's sanctions evasion schemes to the tune of $20 billion. And he literally presented an Excel spreadsheet of the, you know, more than $50 million in bribes he presented to one of Erdogan's top aides, Turkey's then Minister of Economy, to facilitate Iranian sanctions evasion. So if both Saab and Korkmaz start spilling the beans, I think we could have more embarrassing headlines for the Erdogan government, and this could ultimately expose how Ankara played a middleman role in facilitating, you know, exchanging sanctioned Venezuelan gold, possibly for sanctioned Iranian hydrocarbons. Now, a NATO member state simultaneously busting two U.S. sanctions is as big a scandal as it can get, in my humble opinion.
Ikhan, thanks for joining us on our podcast again. Always great speaking with you.
Thank you for having me.
In other news, Cyprus's Orthodox Church formally took charge Thursday of two ornately decorated 18th century doors stolen from a church in Cyprus's occupied north and reclaimed from a Japanese art college after a long legal battle. Communications and Works Minister Yanis Karousos said the wooden doors were discovered at the Kanazawa Art College more than 20 years ago, and their return followed long and intensive efforts. In what Karousos called cultural genocide, hundreds of frescoes, mosaics, and other religious works of art were looted from churches in the north after Turkey's invasion in 1974. Since then, Cypriot government and church authorities have fought long legal battles in the United States, Europe, and elsewhere to reclaim them. Finally, Cyprus's President Nikos Anastasiadis will have a working breakfast with UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres and Turkish Cypriot leader Ersin Tatar in New York, the president confirmed on Thursday during his visit to Athens. The meeting will be held on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly, but the exact date has not been announced. Guterres will also hold separate meetings with the two leaders. Diplomatic sources noted that on the substance of the issues, nothing seems to have changed since the Turkish Cypriot side continues to insist on its demand for a two-state solution. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.